Thanks, Adam, Annalise, Richard. I started our service by saying that I hope 2025 is a really blessed year for all of you. And I genuinely meant that. But I want to follow it up with a prophetic word, and that is that 2025 will be a blessed year for all of you, if you are a follower, a believer of Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I am certain of it. I am 100% absolutely confident that that is going to be your experience. Though I'm not so sure you'll necessarily be aware of it. Let me explain. I know that it is true that God is going to bless you because scripture tells us that this is what God does for all who he has transformed, that he has placed the life of Christ into, that he has redeemed. Even if you consider yourself a miserable failure, God looks at you and he doesn't see your brokenness, the weakness. He doesn't see the screw up of humanity that is all of us. He looks at you and he sees someone clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And he has no alternative but to bless you. He cannot and will not harm you because he'd been harming himself. He pours out blessings to those who are righteous, those who are following him. But I'm not sure how aware of that you are. Do you realize exactly the same was true at the start of 2024 and throughout this whole year? The question is, were you aware of God's blessing throughout this year? Do you remember how I started 2024? I'm sure you don't, but we started with Isaiah and 43. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And we talked about not looking back, not looking at those things that have damaged us, the mistakes that we've made, the guilt that we've carried into the year, not listening to the voices that have undermined us, that have falsely criticized us over time, the whispers of the enemy, but instead to look forward to the good new things that God was going to do in us. I asked you, are you ready? Are you expectant? Are you watching? Are your hands outstretched to receive what God is wanting to give you? Or are you going to carry on as normal with all the baggage that we've carried with us through life? And as God makes this declaration in Isaiah, behold, I am doing a new thing. Interestingly, he asks perhaps a surprising question. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? He's asking that question. Are you aware? I need eyes to perceive, to see what is happening around me. I need a heart to believe, and I need hands outstretched to receive what God has for me. Effectively, in asking that question, God is saying, are you paying attention to me, to my presence, to what I have for you? It speaks about the depth of our faith with him. It speaks about how much we trust him as we go into the year. And that was the case in 2024 as we started our time together. But were we aware? Only you can answer that question honestly. You and the Lord. whether you genuinely were aware of all the blessings that he poured out to you because of who you are in Christ. Now, at this point, I know that there may be those who are thinking, those who find it easy to keep beating themselves up because of the things that we go through. And you might be thinking, well, if I'm honest, I'm not sure that I was spiritually as alive and awake as I should have been last year. I'm not sure that I perceived all the things that God was doing. Then please don't beat yourselves up, because I think you just number yourselves among everybody else in the church. We all often struggle because we hear and we think about what God is doing on a relatively small amount of our time. I have opportunity to share what I believe God is wanting to say to us for an hour or so each week, and on Thursday when we come and open ourselves up in prayer. But the rest of the time, the enemy just whispers and undermines, and it's easy when we are away to lose that focus. And then I'm aware from last week's service. Last week's service that I hope will be a kind of review of the year that had just gone, where I invited us to say, in what ways has God impacted our life this year? In what ways have we encountered him? What scriptures have meant something that we'd held on to get us through? It was interesting observing the responses. The few people who shared something. It was really interesting that all four people who shared something began and focused on their circumstances, the stuff going on around them, how it'd been a hard season, a tough time. That was the starting point. But the good news is they all said, but God was there in one way or another. God was there. But I didn't hear many scriptures spoken of those things that anchor us, that hold us onto the rock that I was really hoping for. Nobody said, but we've been challenged this year to fix our eyes not on what is seen, the stuff, the circumstances around us, but what is unseen, the God who is working in the background. I didn't hear people saying, yes, but who I am in Christ is the key. There is no longer condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And when God looks at me, he looks and he sees the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that gives me the confidence to move forward. But what about the three fundamental core things that all human beings need? Security, acceptance, and purpose. All three designed part of our DNA, who we are, that God gives to us, given in Adam in the Garden of Eden. Lost, all three lost when sin entered the world and humanity became broken in the fall. And all three restored in Jesus. Acceptance, security, purpose. And even leading up to Christmas, and as we thought about why Jesus came into this world, his coming, the story of Christmas, not just the cradle. Not even the cradle to the cross, but right back to Adam in creation. Creation to the cradle, to the cross, and the clouds. He is coming again. The story of God entering in this world. And yes, we looked at that, didn't we? The confidence we have for the future. And we looked at how God restored his nation, Israel, 2,500 years scattered across the world. And in Ezekiel 37, he restored his nation Israel because God is faithful and he's got a future and a purpose in mind for his nation. And of course, that means that we can look at what he has for us. And we look around as the Lord in himself invited us to see the signs of the times and not be overwhelmed by them, but on the contrary, recognize tough things are coming. Yes, this world is falling apart, but Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. And when he comes, he will be coming in judgment. But I truly believe I will not be part of that, because I will be raptured away before then, along with his church, as he draws his people home. What a series of promises! This is the God who met us and blessed us in 2024. And I draw these things to your attention, not because I want to have a go at anybody. I draw these to your attention because I do not want anybody else to go through another year on their knees, scraping by, when that is not what God has designed us to be. And so I'm going to start this year reminding us of what God says he has given to us to allow us to live a fruitful life back to that purpose that is a core part of who we are called to be. Purpose. How we live a purposeful, fruitful life. And I've got a little mini series of things that I want to bring to you that have been coming to me for some time. But I wondered, how do I begin? And this week, as I was praying, Lord, what am I going to give to you? Three words jumped into my mind. Jars of clay. So I want to start the rest of this time by just giving us perspective that I hope will be an encouragement for us. Hold on to these things, because this is who God says we are, these jars of clay. Do you realize that God has designed his church and his people, all of us, to be vessels for his glory? We'll get to the jars of clay in a minute, but we are to be vessels for his glory. It's that purpose again. So, what does it mean to be a vessel for God's glory? When I think about vessels, and when we think about mighty, impressive vessels, my mind immediately starts thinking about vessels that float. Sorry, that's just me. I thought about the Southampton Boat Show that takes place every year and the range of vessels, from the humble, the simple, the kayak, the dinghy, all the simple things, right the way up through a series of yachts and sailing craft for recreational purposes, for people to live on, for racing boats, to motor boats, to the great steamboats of the past that have been in all their might and glory, to the cruise ships, and of course, the super yachts that the rich and infamous live in. And that might make us think about, yes, you need to be a more impressive vessel if you're going to start talking about a vessel that brings glory to God. But in the Bible, that's not the term that is used. Instead, Paul helps us to understand what a vessel for God is. I'm going to share a simple verse with you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and clay. Some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Perhaps we're talking about the Kazi in that respect. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. And the honorable here doesn't say anything about having to be gold or silver. It speaks about being cleansed. This is a passage that speaks about how we are sanctified and cleansed and hence useful for God. Two ways that the passage speaks to us about being vessels which are cleansed. First of all, Paul speaks about us, if we are cleansed, the actions that we can take. We can cleanse ourselves, can't we, by gathering together. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, do not stop meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. We come together and we cleanse one another. In particular, we wash one another with the word. Paul is teaching of the importance of God's word being the foundations. He's speaking to a church in which an awful lot of false doctrines have come into play, and he wants to correct that. And so he's teaching that they are cleansed with God's word. We become useful to God, not because of our outer shell, but because we are cleansed and become honourable, useful for God. And one of the subjects that we looked at last week was being sanctified, what it was to be washed constantly by his word. Ephesians 5, 26, if you want to look up that analogy he gave from marriage about sanctifying one through being washed in God's word. So that's the first aspect, that sense of keeping ourselves clear. But before that, something else we looked at this week is how God cleanses us in the first place. We looked at the reason why there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why it is that when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of God in Christ. And I'm not going to stop speaking out these words until these are the words and the verses that just leap off your tongue and give you the foundation you need to stand. And when we looked at that last year, we recognized it is the work of Jesus on the cross. That's what he does. He cleanses us so that sin is gone from the past, in the present, and the future, all gone on the cross of Christ. So for a believer, we are a vessel for God's glory because the vessel has been cleaned. Paul is calling his church to both keep themselves clear, and as we've already seen, because Christ has cleansed us. And if we do that, what do we notice in that verse that I put on the screen? He will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy. That's you. 2025, you set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, and ready for every good work. Purpose again. Wow. That's the encouragement. This is why it's important to know who we are and see ourselves in God's eyes instead of in circumstances. Now, I know that, as I've said, there are those who continually beat themselves up because of their perceived failings and the things they get wrong, even though they don't need to because we've been cleansed. But I just want to give a word of encouragement to those people, if that's you, and there are lots of us who do that. And it's this: far better to be a person who occasionally slips back into that way of thinking, oh, I'm no good, and know your need of God, than to be arrogant, to be the other end of the spectrum to know that God has cleansed you, and start to even believe that you had something to do with that, and not continually come humbly to God, knowing your need of him. Which brings me to the two passages that Adam read, which I'll mention briefly, both of which speak about us as being jars of clay. And the first comes from Jeremiah. And you know, this is a story in the most appalling circumstances of redemption. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, called by God to prophesy, to speak out of Israel's impending judgment. His job is to speak to a nation who had begun to think more highly of themselves than they ought. They had lost perspective. And so to explain the situation to Jeremiah, he asks him to do something, and he gives him a visual illustration. He says, go down to the potter's house, and he does, and there's the potter, and the wheel is in front of him with a slab of clay spinning on the wheel. And the potter is forming a pot, and it goes wrong as it does. And it becomes misshaped. But because he is the potter, he simply reforms the pot into another vessel as seems fit to him. And illustration given, then God's word comes to Jeremiah, and he says to him, verse 6, he said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. This illustration is about helping us to understand why it is that God disciplines his people, those that he loves, why he alone can do amazing things with us, even when we become misshapen. It is about understanding who is in charge. Now, he is speaking of the nation Israel, but it's equally valid for individuals. It is God who is in charge. Do you know, as we enter 2025, you're about to hear, and I'm sure, very confident that Donald Trump, as he comes to his inauguration in a few days' time, truly will believe that he is in charge of America for the next 4 years. In the same way that President Putin will believe that he is in charge of Russia, and President Xi is in charge of China, and all other national leaders feel that they are in charge. But God alone is sovereign. And it's not just world leaders. I am not having a go at them. I want to remind all of us, that's how we all are. As people, we look at the things around us, our families, our homes, our careers, our possessions, and it's so easy for us to think, this is mine. I achieved this. I brought things. I am in charge. God alone is sovereign. We like to take responsibility. We like to take charge for what we think we have done. Tell that to the person I heard about just recently, a relatively young person who died of a heart attack. We are not in charge. It is God. He is the potter. We are the clay. So perspective in 2025 begins by, I believe, recognizing that God is the potter. You are the clay. We belong to him. We serve Him. We live for Him, which is why we are vessels for His glory. If you want to be released this year from the pressure of managing your situation, those circumstances that we so adore to make our identity, I am who I am because of what's happening around us, that we focus on so easily. If you want to be released from trying to manage that, I want to encourage you to recognize that God is the potter. To turn to Him, to let go, to give Him the responsibility, to allow Him to take charge. Let God take the strain. Invite Him to take the next move, show you the next move. Don't step until He's revealed that next move. Vessels for noble use, not common. That's the first illustration. We're in God's hands and they're safe hands. And then the second passage in which jars of clay mentioned in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. And Paul is speaking about everything that he says, everything that he preaches, all that he is about. Let me read to you the first two verses. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made this light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Can I say that to you again? He made the light shine in our hearts. Why? To give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory. Not your glory, God's glory. Not the glory of the palace, the kingdom you live in, but God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. The greatest blessing you will have this year, I believe, is the constant capacity to see Jesus as Lord and see the glory of God in Him right inside within you. To know that Jesus is with you as guide, as shepherd, not just shepherd, but the good shepherd, who will always lead you to the best pasture if you let Him take the lead. Who is your provider, your protector? You're not the provider, He is. Who will comfort you? And in all of that, as we see Him, we will find blessing as we see the glory of God within us, whatever the outer shell is like. Now, what we do is we often start by seeing the imperfection, seeing the brokenness, seeing the things we're battling through. And we point to those. That's the starting places of our conversations so often. And then we look to our imperfections, our sorrows, our pains, our brokenness. And after coming into this world, as God did, we fail to see the vulnerability of a child coming in all its weakness, just as we are weak. We fail to see that He went on to do something amazing for us. So the invitation is to see the glory of God. And where does that happen? Where does the glory of God get seen? Well, we need to jump to verse 7. But we have this treasure. This is the blessing. Treasure, not gold and silver of outside, not even wood, but even in these jars of clay, the treasure is in the jars of clay. to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So Paul's focus is to preach Christ, not to preach himself. He doesn't try to make himself anything. He doesn't try to show himself as anything. On the contrary, his redemption comes from the fact that he sees himself as a jar of clay. Jars of clay which are fragile, which are broken, which crack, which have flakes coming off them, which have flaws that are seen. But the light of Christ in all of his glory shines through those imperfections. We may be often broken and chipped. We might be full of mistakes. But it's not us that we're showing to other people, it's the glory of God within. And actually, when we start by recognizing we are jars of clay, yes, broken, but being reformed by the potter. And yes, we've got all of these flaws. It's really important. That's what keeps us humble and recognizing where the glory that we speak of comes from. And it's Jesus inside. He's your blessing. He's the one that invites you to see. I want to encourage us this year to relinquish our brokenness to him and invite him to mold us into something even more special for honorable use as we bring glory to God. And in the process, he will build his kingdom in us because that's what he does. So let's sing our final song together.